Hey everyone, welcome to the Veterinary Voices podcast. I'm Danny Chambers and I'm here with the president of Vet Life, James Russell. James, do you want to introduce your background, like what you did clinically and what you've done in the last couple of years before you became president of Vet Life?
Yeah, thank you, Danny. It's great to be here. I was a practicing vet until 2018. I was a partner in a practice in Derbyshire. A farm animal vet myself, but looking after a mixed practice, so very familiar with small animal out of hours. And so
did you start off doing small animal as well, did you, like a mixed job and then go into farm? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, that's right. And then we doing our own out of hours, we just kept doing the small animal as well. So
yeah,
that was that. And then through COVID, I was involved with BVA. I was BVA officer through the COVID pandemic. So
BVA president, weren't you? Was it just after it all kicked off? I can't remember the exact.
Yeah, September 2020, I became president. So had the sort of back end of that lockdown and then the next winter lockdown. Yes. So was the president from the cupboard under the stairs for BVA. I've been a trustee of VetLife for around about 3 years now and was fortunate to be asked to be president when Graham stepped down in September. So, it's been a great, great journey to be here.
So we've been working together for quite a while on VetLife because I'm a trustee of VetLife as well. We always assume most people in the veterinary profession have heard of VetLife, but just want to really briefly explain what we do.
Yeah, of course. And it is great to have you as a trustee, Danny, a really, really valued member of the team there, I have to say. And VetLife has got sort of three arms to it, really. So the helpline, which helpline is as busy now as it ever has been. So helpline is managing around about 10 contacts a day at the moment from people within the veterinary communities. And that really is quite a broad sweep. So yes, vets and registered vet nurses, but also students, veterinary nursing students and veterinary surgeon students and admin teams. And a not uncommon call on helpline is actually the parents of students as well.
Well, that's interesting. So they've actually heard of VetLife as well.
Yeah, so we will take calls from people who are fairly tenuously associated with the veterinary professions. And we're pleased to do that, really pleased to do that. And the helpline is managed by a group of volunteers working shifts. So we're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
And we have roughly 100 volunteers, don't we? It's a big team.
Yeah, and they're just a brilliant group of people, Danny. I have the pleasure once a year of going and doing some training with them. Yeah, they're all veterinary professionals in one way or another. And so, they get where you're coming from, but also they're trained to be able to listen to you and to support you at a time that you might need to speak with us. Yeah, and then Helpline can refer on to both financial support or health support. So financial support is there really as that kind of last catch for people who are in financial difficulties. So after, friends, family, banks, the state, after all of those things have offered what support they can, financial support is there to really make sure that we don't lose people through the net. And to be eligible for financial support, you do need to be regulated by the Royal College, so either a vet surgeon or a registered vet nurse. And similarly, with health support, we're able to refer people on there for additional sort of psychological support if that's what they need.
So to be clear, the health support, so if someone, for example, rings a helpline and they're at crisis point, you essentially refer them for immediate assessment. So rather than them waiting, if they go to the GP in the same situation, they might have to wait weeks or months or longer to get the referral they need. But VetLife can do that immediately if you're a veterinary surgeon or a veterinary nurse. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually for students as well. And I think, it's worth sort of reflecting on that, on what you've just said there, Danny, because you're quite right. We recognise that the health service at the moment is under tremendous strain and there can be quite large gaps between people recognising that they need some support and then being able to access that support. So I often talk about health support as being a bit of a bridging service in that sense. And also a door opening service, because you are speaking with mental health medical professionals and they're perhaps able to find access into services that you might not find for yourself. When we say instant, I think we just need to recognise that they're a service that work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. So we would certainly hope and our goal is that everybody hears from them within 48 hours of a referral and has their first appointment within a week. So we're able to move quite quickly, but there will still be that little bit of delay.
Yeah, that's very reassuring to know that's there, because that delay between seeking help and receiving it can be lethal for some people. So it's obviously those of us who are involved in vet life have a particular interest in mental health, and particularly the mental health of the veterinary profession. And it's been well sort of documented and talked about that vets seem to struggle more than the average with mental health problems and issues. Do you mind telling us, like, what was your motivation of getting involved with vet life? Was there any particular story or incident or person that got you involved, or was it just your experience of, being involved with the British Veterinary Association and being involved with the profession on a different level and, seeing the struggles they're coping with?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think, I became a volunteer, I think, in 2016. I think I'm right with that. It was somewhere around about there, 2015, 2016. And at that point, I was a partner in my practice. And one of the roles that I recognised that I was taking on more and more was a supportive role of people within the practice. And I think, not uncommonly, being a rural mixed practice, our typical veterinary nurse was the child of a local farmer, and they were coming to us as quite young students, very often straight from school, at a time where sixth form education to 18 wasn't compulsory. So we were taking people in at 16 and recognizing that actually it was a challenging world sometimes for people to be involved in who perhaps had grown up in, say, quite remote rural environments. And I recognized that I enjoyed being involved in trying to support those people, and VetLife felt like a natural extension, really, of that, to pick up and try and support the profession more broadly. I think, most of us, when you speak to veterinary professionals, will know of somebody or have been associated with somebody who has suffered with poor mental health. And in many cases, we will be aware of people who have died by suicide as well. And that, of course, has quite a profound impact on your own feelings about how we should care for each other and how we should look out for each other. So I think those were the kind of driving forces for me. But I mean, Danny, I'd be interested because you had an interesting route into being a VetLife trustee as well. And don't know, do you want to share that with us as well?
Yeah, no, I'll happily do it, especially because I think there's quite a connection between Veterinary Voices and VetLife, and it goes right back to when we founded Veterinary Voices. So my friend Sarah Brown and I set up Vet Voices, and at the time we were both running for election for the RCVS Council, and so the group was actually called Sarah and Danny for RCVS Council, and we quite quickly had about 3,000 to 4,000 vets join it, and we were campaigning quite hard. One of the things about improving mental health support, because we've both been sort of working to support mental health of vets for quite a few years, and we thought that getting onto the RCVS Council would be a really good way of pushing forward that agenda and raising the profile of it. And so when we successfully got elected, because mainly because everyone who joined the group sort of voted for us, it worked really well. It seemed there was such good, useful, supportive conversations that it seemed a shame to shut the group down. So we renamed it Veterinary Voices. And Sarah, almost immediately when we got elected in, I think it's June or around that kind of time, became a trustee of VetLife as well as an RCVS councillor. And unfortunately, a few months later, Sarah took her own life. And so that was quite a shock to a lot of us. Really, a lot of people in the group know Sarah. They often join it because she invited them to. They're friends of her from university. And as she was a trustee of VetLife, I was co-opted in, stepped in to replace her as a trustee. So that was 6 years ago now. So I've got 1 year left on the VetLife board. So I've been in for 6 years. And yeah, so it was a very sad sort of way that I got involved, because so my friend Sarah, who was passionate about helping mental health of other people. And it's probably one of the most meaningful things that I've been involved in, because I hear from a lot of people who send me messages, or when I'm at a conference, or even just some of my friends from university. Sometimes, friends that you haven't seen for years, they'll message you, or when you meet up with them for the first time in years, they'll say, "Actually, I had a really tough time and I called VetLife and they're really helpful." It really means a lot when people feed that back to you, because obviously everything's anonymous. We don't share any details. If you contact VetLife either through phone or email, your details will never be shared. No one will know your story. But when people feel confident and enough to come and tell you that you had a direct impact on their life. And the thing about mental health struggles I've found is that you can never predict who's going to come up and tell you how much VetLife helped them. And this is partly our own sort of stereotypes and biases. You'll know what I mean by this, the kind of rugby playing farm vet in his 60s who you think would never phone a VetLife helpline or even need to. And often it's those sort of people that come up and say you made a huge difference to them in a point of crisis. And I find that because I grew up on a farm and I used to work in a mixed practice like you did as well. And sort of in the agricultural community, they've got a lot of the same issues as well. A sort of long hours, working in isolation, a lot of pressures, like financial pressures and uncertainty in your work as well, are things out of your control. It could be a weather or prices, that kind of thing. And much more now than they ever used to. You've got things like the Farm Community Network, and they're actually talking about mental health, talking to each other about it. And I think that is a hugely important part of what's happening in the veterinary profession now, because obviously vet life, it's vital when people are really struggling. But it'd be great if people felt more supportive both at work and amongst their friendship group and among their colleagues and in spaces like Vet Voices, that they could be talking and sharing and supporting each other more before they get to the point where they feel they need to reach for almost crisis help. And I mean, to clarify, vet life isn't there just for when you're in a crisis and at any point, but it'd be great to have more of that kind of community that we're building, that people feel they can share their mental health struggles with each other before they feel like they have to reach for formal help.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that, Danny. And I think you're quite right to give a shout out to the Farming Crisis Network because they do some great stuff. And it was lovely to actually see them at the Mind Matters Initiative Symposium conference back in September, October time, sort of sitting alongside us, really, and recognizing the mutual role that we have in each other's communities. I thought that was a really, really valuable thing to have. But also, I mean, interesting what you say about people's openness and people's willingness to talk about mental ill health. And I was fascinated by BVA, Voice of the Veterinary Profession survey that was run, and I might get the dates on this slightly wrong, but I'm going to say it was run maybe in about 2018 and again in about 2021, something like that time span. And they asked the same question in both of those surveys, which was whether you could recognize signs of poor mental health in a friend or colleague. And the really good news is that the percentage of people who felt they could had increased by the second survey. So hopefully what you're describing there of that sort of awareness of an ability to lean into and to open up conversations around people's mental well-being is becoming more common. It also showed us that we've got quite a long way to go because the number that it had risen to, the number of people who did feel confident recognizing signs of mental ill health in their colleagues, was around 60%. So we've still got a long way to go, but it's great that it's moving in the right direction. And I think increasingly we're starting to talk about that, aren't we? And within VetLife, we're starting to talk about saying, rather than being, was it Gandhi's quote that, rather than just picking people out the river, we need to go upstream and see why they're falling in the first place. And I think increasingly as VetLife, we're starting to think in those terms, aren't we, of saying, what can we do that promotes positive well-being and positive mental health? And there's huge synergies, I think, in different bits of work that are being done. So one of the things that I was really pleased to see happen in recent months was BVA thinking about getting their Good Workplace guidance accredited so that workplaces can become recognised for the good work that they're doing in trying to support, sort of positive team health, we can put it in that way, within their workplace. And those kind of initiatives are really important, aren't they, to make sure that the people who come into our profession enjoy a really long and fruitful career in it.
I think that's very true. And I think, the very nature of people who come into the profession, a lot of them are very driven, very ambitious. They've worked really hard for many years, very single-minded, but also very compassionate and empathetic and caring at the same time. And when you're under pressure, like we're just busy, you've got difficult cases, sometimes difficult clients, sometimes a difficult work environment, you just have to remember that, you can't look after the animals unless you look after yourself. If your main priority is being a good vet and looking after as many animals as possible, even if that is your main priority and not mental health, actually, unless you start taking care of yourself properly, you're not going to be able to do that either. And I think that's a really important message, isn't it? Because it's not just you that is affected by your own mental health. It's the whole team around you, it's your family, it's your patients, the other owners. So although we often are quite selfless people, there's nothing selfish about prioritizing your own health and mental health, because others will suffer, not just you, if you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where we very often use the oxygen mask analogy, don't we, Danny? Of, whenever you're on a plane, it says put your own oxygen mask on before you help others. And, the reason for that is because you're not going to be able to help others if you're passed out on the floor, isn't it? So it absolutely holds true what you've just said.
Well, how can people get involved in VetLife? What are the various ways people get involved with the charity?
Yeah, sure. So we've mentioned already our team of volunteers who are on helpline, and we have another team of volunteers. We call them regional representatives, and they would travel around and actually meet the people who potentially are going to be in receipt of money from VetLife.
And just to be clear, people who volunteer on the helpline, you do get training and support, don't you? You're not just sort of handed a phone and it goes off at 3 in the morning and you're expected to deal with problems, are you? And it is very structured training when you're on the helpline. There's that you can escalate for support as well, can't you?
Absolutely, Danny. Really important point to mention, isn't it? That it's a very rigorous process to get people there. There's about 15 hours of CPD goes into becoming a helpline volunteer, and then a requirement for ongoing CPD as well. So yeah, absolutely. People who think it might be something that they would be in a position to offer, we'd love to hear from them, and we can talk to them more about what that training would involve and what being a volunteer would involve. But the other way that you can help us is to become a friend of VetLife. What we mean by becoming a friend of VetLife is ultimately that you give us some money every month. Roughly about the price of a coffee a month is what we're asking for to become a friend of VetLife. And if you are a vet or a vet nurse, then the friend of VetLife is £4.10, I think, a month at the moment. And it's half that to become an associate friend of VetLife. And our associate friends are people who are not regulated by the Royal College. And I'm really proud, actually, that we've been able to bring that associate friendship alongside the original friendship offering over the last 12 months, because we know that there's a lot of people out there who work as veterinary receptionists, veterinary practice managers, you know, partners of vets and all the rest of it, who would love to be a friend of VetLife. And there wasn't an avenue for them to do that before. So now there is. So people
This
can do
is
that.
really important, isn't it, James, because it doesn't sound like a lot, like £4.10 a month. And a lot of people do random sort of amazing fundraising for us, like events and charity events and runs and challenges. But the importance of being a friend of VetLife, if you have enough people giving £4.10 a month, is that it gives us a predictable, regular income, which is really important for us to be able to plan ahead, make sure we've got the right resources. You know, because there's more and more people calling our helpline and also using the financial support and the health support, isn't there? So it's having that regular, predictable income is really, really important for us, isn't it?
Really important. I mean, just to put that in context, Danny, if every vet who is registered on the Royal College register at the moment, if every vet became a friend of VetLife, it would double our income every year. And, you know, as you say, to be able to predict that income and to know it's coming would mean that we could really expand what we're able to offer to all of the members of our professions. Can I just make the point, though, Danny, in case anyone's hearing this thinking, oh, I'm not a friend of VetLife, that means that I can't use helpline or I can't use financial support or health support. They're completely distinct things. The services are open to everybody that we've described. Becoming a friend of VetLife just means that you're helping us to continue providing those services in the future. So, absolutely no requirement for friendship in order to be able to use our services.
That's a really good point. And another thing that is most people are probably aware of, many people do raise money for us doing a whole lot of exciting, fun, creative sort of challenges and events and initiatives, don't they?
Absolutely. And it's been one of my joys so far of being president is the emails that I get asked to send out thanking people for the different things that they've been doing. And you just follow the social media channels. Veterinary Voices often has bits in, doesn't it, about what's happening, whether it's with your hiking group or whether it's with other people undertaking these different challenges, different events. And I'll tell you what I'm really keen to hear from, Danny, in 2024. I feel like we've got a lot of physical challenges in 2023, and you might have seen I got involved with a few of those during
Yes.
October, our month of movement, and joined Oscar, who did a huge
Yeah,
amount of cycling for
you
us through
cycle
Somerset.
between with every single vet practice in Somerset is a heck of a challenge, isn't it? Doing day and night for 2 days.
Oh, and we got out on our bikes together, actually through sort of 2 foot of flood water in Shrewsbury, so it was quite an exciting cycle ride. And you know, so there's been various things like that happening, but what I would love to see and perhaps some of the more mindful activities, because I recognize that, you know, we're not including everybody in our communities by going out and, you know, climbing rocks or riding bikes or running marathons, as brilliant as all of those things are, and please don't stop doing them. But I wonder what else people could do, you know, whether it's a bake sale or a crochet club or a book club, or, you know, what else could people do that they could then think about VetLife as being the
Yes.
charity they'd support as part of what they were doing?
Yeah, it'd be really good next year to see what if we can see the variety of non-physical activities that raises us some money. We already do have people do things like make scrub hats and that kind of stuff, don't they? And
Yeah,
yeah, it's really
absolutely.
cool. Yeah.
Absolutely.
One thing that surprised me, James, is we at London Vet Show recently had a meeting of the Veterinary Voices hiking group where we all do things like the Snowdonia Way, the James Herriot Way, that kind of stuff. We all meet up and do that, which anyone's welcome to. It's not hardcore hiking, like, you know, it's for everyone to sort of join us. But yeah, we made over £15,000 since we set that up for VetLife.
Brilliant.
you know, it's not only is it really fun, it's really good for our physical and mental health, but it really is raising, you know, a reasonable amount of money as well. And it feels like a really good community. So I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just sorry that I haven't managed to get out and join you in 2023, but the Achilles is mending, Danny, so I reckon I'll be out with you soon.
Well, yeah, no, my Achilles tendonitis that I've had stopped me running. So I did a couple of 10Ks for VetLife in the summer, and then I haven't been to run since. So
Oh, dear.
that's my excuse anyway. So, well, James, thanks for joining us today. That was a really interesting chat. We will be speaking to some of the other trustees as well about the reasons they've got involved with VetLife. I mean, what are those, 12 trustees?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and you know, it's something if people want to get involved, you know, either on helpline or being a regional representative or raising money for us, you know, you can consider becoming a trustee as well. And trustees are the people who actually make the decisions on how to run the charity. So yeah, thank you for your support, everyone, and thank you for
Can
your
I
time.
just touch on that, Danny,
Yeah, go
before
on.
we sign off to say that those trustees are all friends of VetLife, and that is
Yes.
the one sort of right, if you like, that being a friend conveys to you is the ability to vote for and also to stand as a trustee.
That's a very good point. Yes, it's not just the income that being a friend of VetLife is. It means that you can choose the next trustees, or you can even stand as a trustee. So for people who want to get really involved in the running of VetLife, so no, I feel like VetLife is a charity that the profession really feels like they own it, like they're part of it. It's their profession, don't they? There's a real good emotional connection to it. And if you want to get more involved, it's a really good way of doing that.
It was lovely to see that at London Vet Show, Danny, going around the trade hall there and just seeing the love for the charity from so many different groups and companies. It was brilliant.
Yes. Well, thank you for your time, James, and I will speak to you again soon.
Take care.